If you have your Bibles, join me in Acts chapter 16. I think it's important to bring your Bible, open it up, look at the verses that we're going to go through. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. We're going to continue our series on Paul's second missionary journey. You know, the thing that really stands out about the first journey and the second journey is the incredible commitment that these early followers of Christ exhibited. Quite amazing. You know, we get in our car and we drive 100 miles and it takes about an hour and 15, 20 minutes. These guys had to walk. They didn't have Uber. They didn't have all these other means of transportation. And so, it wasn't just the commitment to the travel. You do not travel over 1,000 miles if you do not believe in something, or you would quit along the way. And so Paul and Timothy and Silas really committed. Also, Luke and Mark and Matthew, all the early apostles were really committed to this, and all of them were martyred. You don't go to a cross for something you don't believe in. And so I've just really gone through this probably in Bible college, but going back through it again, I'm seeing things that are quite amazing. And when you're doing narrative or historical preaching, there's a lot of what I call practical application points to the text. And I got a bunch of them today, so hopefully it will be of benefit to you. I like what Brother Jim prayed. May it benefit you. And that's really, I don't think a pastor should stand up here and beat people to death. The world does a lot of that. What we really need is more encouragement. And so that's kind of how I approach, without compromising the truth. You all know I'll preach the truth. I do not compromise that. But there are certain ways to preach and certain ways not to preach. So let's look at this morning. First of all, the Holy Spirit is at work, and I've entitled this first section here, Not Speaking. The first two of these are negative. The second two are positive, the second point. So, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. So, kind of recap, they stopped in Lystra, having come from Antioch through the Taurus Mountains. They came to Derbe, and then they went to Lystra. They picked up Timothy, who was well-known in the region, and now they have set a course, and they come up to Phrygia. Now, this is an interesting place, Phrygia, and this is another thing about preaching narrative and historical accounts. You get to study about these places. Phrygia, first of all, is in modern-day Turkey. So when you look at that map, you're seeing that they are in modern-day Turkey. It flourished during the Iron Age, about the 10th to the 7th B.C., we would say before the Common Era today. There's an interesting king that emerges in about the 8th century. You all would have heard of him, King Midas. King Midas was a very powerful king in the 8th century, and of course then the dynasty begins to crumble. But the mythology of King Midas is based, you know, the guy that with the golden touch, is based on an actual king, King Midas. So now you know. All right, Alexander the Great conquered Phrygia in about 34 to 33 B.C., 334 B.C. That's when really, as you look at the New Testament, where we are today, Alexander the Great is really ushering in a unifying force for the introduction of the gospel. Of course, it's 300 years before, but ultimately capturing all of this area centralizes things, and of course then the emergence of Jesus Christ and the birth in Bethlehem. And Phrygia is a very interesting place. There's a beautiful valley. This is a very beautiful valley, but you look at these these rock formations. It's kind of fascinating. This is in the region of Phrygia. Look at this. These are cave homes. And you can see the modern homes are over here, and there's the Turkish flag. The people lived in these. So as he's traveling through, you could see where... And Phrygia went through a lot of changes. There was Lydia came and took it over, and then, of course, eventually Alexander the Great moves in. So Paul and Barnabas, or not Paul and Barnabas, that's the first one. Paul, Timothy, and Silas are traveling through this region. Now, this is interesting. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak a word in Asia. Well, to speak the word is logos, which is the gospel message. So if we look back, as they travel through, they get to Phrygia. Paul wants to go into Asia. And my guess is he wants to go in to Ephesus. That's just a guess. But listen to what the scripture says. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now the Holy Spirit stopped Paul and his entourage from going in and preaching the word of God. Forbidden, kuluon. Kuluon means to cause something not to happen. You can see Paul's wanting to go in there, and the question is, why couldn't they? Well, we don't really know. Was it the weather? Was it maybe a discussion amongst the travelers? We don't know. Speak the word is lelo logos. Lelo logos, which means to talk about the gospel. It is a good reminder to us that sometimes in life, and I'll get into this more in a deeper sense here in a few minutes, that sometimes God does not allow us to do what we want to do. Paul obviously had pure mind, dedicated to the gospel. Paul wanted to share the gospel, but the Holy Spirit said no. And sometimes in life, the things that we want, we're not oftentimes allowed to get. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at the moment what you should say, and I would even add, not adding to Scripture, what you should not say. Very, very interesting, and again, I think Paul's desire to go there was nothing inherently wrong with that. But the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him. And this is a practical point for us, particularly when it comes to the gospel. There are some times in life when you get into situations and circumstances where you want to share the gospel, but you are unable to share the gospel. I know everybody in this room wants everybody in this community to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But sometimes we have to listen to the Holy Spirit and say, you know what, maybe right now is not the best time to share the gospel. And it really boils down to listening to the Holy Spirit. Now, am I telling you that you should just not share the gospel? I'm telling you, if you're prompted to share the gospel by the Holy Spirit, you share it. But sometimes maybe not. And so the Apostle Paul definitely had an issue here trying to share the gospel. So the Holy Spirit forbade them to speak in Asia. And I don't know, you know, I believe Paul to be a highly spiritual man. And I believe that at some point he realized, wait a minute, maybe we're not supposed to do this. So the second thing about the Holy Spirit, not only did Paul and Timothy and Silas were not able to share the gospel in Asia, but the Holy Spirit was closing doors. This was a very fascinating section for me. Now listen to this. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. But this whole, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So let's trace the map again. I got the maps. You have to know where they are. So Paul wanted to go here. And the Holy Spirit said no. So they go up to Mysia. They wanted to go north. And the Holy Spirit said no. So when you look at Lystra, all the way up to Mysia, that's about 350 miles. If you walked 10 miles to 20 miles a day, you were still looking at 17 days. Now, I can get in my car and drive to Memphis in like 8 hours. Brothers and sisters, this is commitment. This is commitment. And then for the Holy Spirit to say, Paul, no, here, I'm shutting the door here. God, what do you want? What do you want me to do? Kenneth Gangle, in his commentary, wrote this: the new travel directions came by the Spirit of Jesus. And a good observation here. Luke does not tell us how the message came, but the theological link of the Holy Spirit in verse 6, which we just looked at, with the Spirit of Jesus in verse 7, offers an important affirmation of the deity for the third person of the Trinity. Furthermore, Paul links both of these with God in verse 10, so we have a full Trinitarian involvement in the Macedonian call. Practical here for a minute. Practical. Sometimes we want to do things that are not biblical. The best way to find out if they're not biblical is look in the Bible. So if you want to do something and you go, I can't find any scriptures, I don't know about this, maybe not do it. Maybe it's something you should avoid doing. Here, the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus is definitely closing some doors. Let me give you a practical application of this. A couple of months ago, I was asked by the astronomy group to go in and get a mirror. It's a good size mirror for a telescope that one of the other guys, Justin, my good friend in the group, we were going to take that and go to the observatory and install it. Well, husband and wife there, and I just couldn't, because the situation didn't look good. She has since passed, and she was not doing well. And he led me through the hallway, and she raised her hand and waved at me, and I waved. And I wanted to stop. I wanted to stop. And I wanted to pray immediately on the spot for her. But he was urging me to keep moving. Now, it did not stop me from praying for her when I got in the car. But at the moment, the situation did not dictate me stopping, maybe aggravating a situation further. So I got the mirror, I put it in the car, I said, thank you, put it in the car, and sat in the driveway and prayed for her. The situation, God brought this to my memory as I was writing a sermon. That moment, I just felt like, now's not the best time to play pastor and try to get to pray. Obviously, he was trying to force me out of the house. That's one illustration of my own personal illustration of God saying, you know what, wait till you get to the car. And sadly, since that event, she has passed away. John Richmond, another friend of mine who is a believer in our astronomy group, we got together, we talked about it. We had actually planned on going over to pray with them, and John even told me, Mike, maybe now's not the right time. And our intentions were good, but the timing was not quite right. And let me give you another illustration. You guys, gals may remember this. Sunday, March 10th, 2019. And this is a sad story, by the way. Ethiopian Airline Flight 302 crashed, and it killed everybody on board. 157 lives were lost that day. There was one man, a Greek man, who was running late to the airport. He got to the gate, and they had shut the door, and he begged with them to get in and get on the plane. And they said, no, the doors are shut. We've locked. You'll have to catch a later flight. Very short time later, the plane crashes. And the man starts thinking, God literally closed the door. Then did you hear about the plane that crashed recently where there was one survivor? The man lived. I say that to say this, not to bring up tragedies, but sometimes God will close a door for our own good. We don't always need to get everything that we want. We don't always have to, you know, oh God, you got to give me this right now. I probably received stuff that I didn't need and paid a price for it. And sometimes if we just keep pushing, we got to be careful. Look, I don't know where you are in your station of life right now, because each week brings brand new opportunities between you and God. But I will say this. If the door shuts, we've got to get to a place where we say, you know what? It's all right. Paul didn't fight God here. There's no mention of him saying, God, why are you shutting the door in Asia and I want to go north? No, you're not. You notice there's no argument from Paul. No argument at all. I bet you Paul at this point, and this is my understanding of Paul, he's probably down on his knees going, Lord, what do you want now? I can't stress that enough. When God shuts a door, don't try to blow it open. Because sometimes the things that we want are not good for us, and God knows that. And then there's sometimes the door opens up and you go through it, trusting that it's God. See, this life is not about what we see. It's about trusting in Him. If you feel like you're stuck in a rut and you just want to open this door, be careful. That's what I'm trying to say. Paul, there's no argument from Paul. He's just following God. And both of those illustrations, my own illustrations, just to give you an idea of sometimes you have to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying at the moment. And not everything that we want is good for us. Trust me. And sometimes we get what we don't want, but it turns out to be a blessing. So again, wherever you are in your station of life, I want you to think about that this week. Just let God direct your life. And by the way, speaking about letting God direct your life, that's the plane crash. We'll get over that. Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And really, that word means, keeping in step means not only to listen to the Spirit, but to walk with Him daily. That's the Christian life. The Christian life is not, okay, I'm going to look at what I see. No, the Christian life is following Him and listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit that is not only in your head, but in your heart. I think Paul did that. Do y'all understand that? Sometimes doors are shut. Don't use a crowbar to try to open them. I mean, you know, Paul prayed 3 times, Lord, remove this from me, and he didn't. Paul didn't say 4, 5, 6, 7. He didn't keep praying, God, you got to take this, you got to take this. Paul said, okay, that door is shut. What do you want me to do with it now, Lord? That's what you've got to do in your life. The Holy Spirit does open doors, and the Holy Spirit does close doors. So, The Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. Do y'all believe that? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life? And I just, me and you, we have to trust that the Holy Spirit is at work. Generally, my rule of thumb is if I can't find it in Scripture, I don't want to do it. So we have to be extremely, extremely careful not to try to push things open or get ahead of ourselves. I don't feel like I can use my own daughter, not the one here, but I don't feel like I can use her. But there was a situation where there was a job opportunity, and thankfully she didn't take it. And the reason was Steve. So, again, the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. And you know what? Let me just say this with all the love I have. The Holy Spirit knows what is best for us. And sometimes it's not giving us what we want. And at the end of the day, when the dust settles, you got to be okay with that. And I look at Paul, I don't see anywhere here where Luke wrote, and Paul rebelled against God. No, he just went with it. Went on. The Holy Spirit is definitely at work, and He directs our lives. That's what I've been hinting at. He directs our lives. And here we go. Vision. So passing by Mysia, that's an interesting word. It looks like Mysa, but it's Mysia. They went down to Troas. Not Troas. Troas is the pronunciation. So they're up here. You see the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So they come down from Mysia, down to Troas, and God's getting ready to speak. Now that's roughly 100 miles. So let's do some quick math. 500 miles? Now we're probably getting into Chattanooga. And by the way, if you go to Chattanooga, you're going to have to walk through the mountains. That's what these guys did. Remember the Tarsus Mountains right here? This mountain range, they had to go over that. So it's not just the flat distance. I've said this before, you know, 20 miles a day. I don't think I could walk 20 miles a day right now. Maybe I could if they allowed me to walk at night too. So, but that is a long way. Troas, where Paul, Timothy, and Silas wound up right here. And on this missionary journey, 3 years. Some estimate 4 years. Because you're looking at 4,000 to 5,000 miles total. That's a lot of miles, folks. A lot of miles. That's crazy. Paul, I'm going to stay here in Troas and make a good life for myself. Right? Yeah. Troas, was a major trade route. Here's the Aegean Sea. It was right on the Aegean Sea. So it was a major trade fair at the time that Paul was there. This is a Roman road in Troas. You ready for this? Our brother, the Apostle Paul, Timothy, and Silas would have walked that road. The Bible is not fictitious stories. I said this last week and I'll say it again. The Bible is real people, real places, and a real God that is directing them. So when we look at these places, we can go, wow, Paul was here. There's also, I still didn't get to the bottom of this one. Maybe this was a trading area where they sold and bought things. But this is quite old, actually. Look at that. Those are the stones. People really lived. Last week, I was 25. Right? Yeah. Many of y'all know. And actually, did you know, when you look at this, you look at the people that lived there, and from these excavations and archaeologists going in there and discovering things, we learn a little bit about their lives. But here's the deal. Their lives are done. The only thing that matters in this life is that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All else is secondary. You have to know Jesus. And these people that lived here, maybe they knew Jesus, maybe they didn't. I hope that they did. James reminded me of something this week as I was looking. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Don't live for tomorrow. Live for today. Martin Luther, the great Reformed theologian, said this. It's always stuck with me, and it's true. There are only 2 days that matter, today and that day. And so we get in this pattern of planning our lives and doing this and doing that when tomorrow is not promised. And by the way, I'm one of my friends on Facebook said, I will never forget the friends in our neighborhood. I will never forget the friends that we grew up with and the fun that we had. And I responded, that was yesterday. And it goes quick. And the trivial stuff that we engage in is ridiculous. We all know in this room that the gospel should be central to our lives, and sharing the gospel and loving people and not nitpicking one another. It is living life today. Look. I'm not going to apologize for saying this. Enjoy life. Love God. Martin Luther also said this and was misquoted many, 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 many times. He said, love God and live as you please. Love God, meaning God influences how you live in your relationship with God. I am telling you that none of us in this room are promised next Sunday. Take time. Breathe and enjoy life. And by enjoying life, I mean share the gospel, love people, care for them. And we get hung up on stuff that doesn't matter eternally. Why, oh why, God, why? No, just trust Him. That's what Paul did. And then live your life. Laugh. We were laughing so hard the other night, Audrey messed her side up. Yeah. You got to enjoy life. Otherwise, there's no joy. You got the Holy Spirit. Be full of joy. Don't take yourself too seriously either. Just relax, have fun, enjoy life. So now we get to this portion, verse 9. So passing Mysia, they went down to Troas, and we talked about that. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Horema, which is the word for vision. An event in which something appears vividly and credibly to the mind. Although it may not actually be present, but implying influence, and I'm just reading to you what the literal Greek means, by implying the influence of some divine or supernatural power or agency. Paul didn't have this vision by himself. Horo is the word appeared, which means to see or have sight of something. And night is nux. Y'all say that with me on three, nux. One, two, three, nux. Now you can go home and say, I've learned to speak Greek. Darkness. So was he sleeping and he had a vision? Maybe. Or maybe it was definitely at nighttime, because that's what this text says. So it was definitely at night, and Paul has a vision. Now he's going to find out why God didn't want him to go into Asia or go north. Is this helping you? Is this helping y'all? Good, because that's really what it's supposed to do. Kenneth Gangle, his commentary, writes this. Commentators speculate on the nature of the vision and the identity of the man, but all such imaginative meanderings seem useless, and they are. That's not the point of what's happening here. Luke emphasizes neither the geography nor the personality in this paragraph, but rather the absolute God-directed plan and route of the missionary trip. So Paul is having this vision. And by the way, a lot of you know this, some of you don't. In 1984, I had a vision. And my hands were like this, and there was a Bible in front of me. That was 1984. Well before. At that time, the NFL came on over in Hawaii at like 8 in the morning. So I was watching the Washington Redskins game, and I have this vision. Where did that thing come from? Well, fast forward to February 9th. I had to go back and look it up on the calendar. February 9th, 1988. And of course, that was a Tuesday. I went to sleep that night just like any other night, and in that night, I had a dream. And the dream was, I had died. And there was, I'm not making this stuff up, I still see it. Every time I see a tree root, I think of it. It's always before me. And I'm not, y'all know I'm not charismatic, very conservative, don't go outside the lines. So I'm standing, I'm looking at this angelic being, and without speaking, he points to the right. And he says to me, it's the third day, it's time to get up. And I got up, and I looked to the right, and there's people with horrified faces trying to get to me, and they had roots growing out of their back into the ground, and they were stuck. Why I did this in my dream, I don't know, but I reached around and I felt no roots. And I looked at this angelic being, which was white, and I said, where's my roots? I repeated it like three or four times, where's my roots? And he said to me, Jesus cut your roots, go preach the gospel. Twelve-year military career. 8 years to retirement. I look back at all this, and I look at how God kind of orchestrated things. So that was February 9th, which, by the way, was my dad's birthday. That was strange. I said, wait a minute. I went back and looked at it and said, wow, that's my dad's birthday. Valentine's Day, that week, I went and talked to my pastor, and he said, God has called you into the ministry. Now, it was a year and a half later when I actually got out. But there was a Southern Baptist chaplain who got wind of it, and I was a sergeant at the time, and he would say, Sergeant Frazier, wear this. I want you to go preach inside that GP medium. And I was like, preach? There was a crazy song back in the day, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Y'all remember that? I'm in that tent. There's officers. There's enlisted people. And I preach what I thought was a 30-minute sermon, wound up probably being 10 minutes. Because I had no idea what I was doing other than what Brother Charlie told me about 3 points. And I said, okay, if you would like to receive Christ, just bow your heads, because I saw that Billy Graham do that. I heard so I decided that would be a good thing. Bow your head, shut your eyes. And I said, if you would like to receive Christ, just slip your hand up. About 20 people. I was like, now that I know what I'm doing, I can't get anybody. Let me say this. This is from my heart. There's no way I'm leaving a 12-year military career unless I was convinced beyond a doubt that God was calling me into the ministry. Initially, Audrey didn't like it, but then she had her bathroom meeting with God. And then every step of the way, I saw how God did it. Why? Why? But I started thinking about it later. I went to non-commissioned officers school training, won the leadership award there. Then I started getting put in positions where I had to be up in front of people. And then I realized, wait a minute, God's been doing this for the last 6 years. It's probably a good thing if you can stand up in front of people and talk. So even before I went to Bible college and other things, God was ready. And you know, that's not normal. You're not going to walk outside today, maybe. I don't know, maybe you will after I preach on it. Sit in your car and you got a vision. The reason is we have the Bible. Mine was unique. I still see it. And when I see tree roots, I am reminded of my calling. And that's why I've stayed the course. So when God tells you something and it's clear, you should do it. So we go on. We're in verse 9, and we're going to close this here pretty quickly. Although Brother Larry said last Sunday, I can go over an hour. So, a man of Macedonia was standing there, don't know who it is, urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So back to our map. That's another 150-some-odd miles. Some of that, most of it's by sea, but still. Now, there's something about his vision, and I'm going to give you 3 things about his vision. First of all, God gave him a location. God showed him a man standing over. It's known as Paul's Macedonian call. So he knows the location in which he's supposed to go. And you notice God's directing him. Secondly, it was an urgent call. When I came forward that Sunday, I took it as urgent, even though it was a year and a half before I actually got out. Come over quickly. It also involved ministry. Help us. The ministry that we do here is for the benefit of others. We're getting ready to start Wednesday night dinners here at the church. There'll be vegan, I think it's vegetarian options. And for guys like me that are sinful at like meat, probably have that. That'll be on Wednesday nights. We're going to have something for kids. That's help people. Ministry is about helping people. Then the response of the Apostle Paul. So he has this vision. There's a figure standing there saying, come over quickly and help us. Verse 10. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately, not, well, what do you guys think? Do you think we should, Timothy? Do you think we should? Immediately. Notice what Paul says. Immediately, we sought to go into Macedonia. So he must have said to Timothy, and Luke, look, guys, we got to go. I just had a vision. And they were like, Paul said it. We're doing it. It wasn't like, well, you know, we're kind of running short on funds or we've got this going on. Paul says, immediately, we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now Paul realizes why. John Polhill, in his commentary, writes this. Paul realized that this vision was God's medium for calling him to a mission in Macedonia. Timothy and Silas readily agreed. And this is interesting. I didn't pick it up when I did my word study, but good point. Timothy and Silas readily agreed once Paul shared the experience with them. Since the text states that we got ready, the first certain occurrence of a narrative first-person speech in Acts, the most likely assumption is that Luke joined them in this missionary trip. So here you now have Paul, Silas, Timothy, and now Luke going in. Here's what I want to say. Number one, trust the Holy Spirit. Trust the Holy Spirit. Listen to Him. Number two, He will teach you when and where. And I would venture to say it will be unmistakable, particularly when it comes to sharing the gospel. Three, and I think this is probably the one I like the best, live for today, don't worry about tomorrow. Enjoy your life. Number four, minister to people. Ministry can take all forms. It may be going over to their house, just praying with them. It could be helping a next door neighbor with his yard. It could be anything. That to me